ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. You know, there is good football around the National Football League. Maybe not in Houston, but it exists. Will it exist here ever? I hope.
You know, some of these NFL players, pretty good.
They are Sean Mapes behind the glass. And you know, maybe the Texans are just a couple of plays away, like a lot of them said. And you know what? Maybe they do deserve credit for hanging in there. Maybe. Just throwing that out.
They deserve some credit.
Some credit.
But we're not throwing a parade for Oma.
Hey, down 27-7, only lost 34-24. Okay.
Yeah. When you put it like that, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, let's take a look at the good teams. Hey, at least Trevor Lawrence kind of sucked yesterday. Did you know that in the 21st century, no one had ever lost four fumbles in a game until Trevor Lawrence did against the Philadelphia Eagles? Here's what that sounded like.
So Trevor Lawrence and company begin just outside the 20. Football is loose again. And the Eagles have recovered.
It was a weird game. Jacksonville started off with a 14-0 lead. They got a pick six on this weird deflected ball up in the air. And what's his first name? I don't even know. But a guy who went to Syracuse named Cisco had a pick six. I should know his first name. I had a friend back in the day named Travis Cisco, and I'm thinking that it's Travis Cisco, but I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it's Andre Cisco. Whatever. Jacksonville had a 14-0 lead, and then they blew it by halftime. 21-14, Philly scores 29 unanswered points. Four fumbles lost by Trevor Lawrence, 11 of 23 for 174 and two touchdowns, dropping Jacksonville to 2-2. Trevor Lawrence said, though, that the Jaguars, obviously, they're a good team. I thought they were obviously a good team. Philly's the last unbeaten team in the NFL at 4-0. Also in the AFC, this was the showdown of the two MVPs. You had on one sideline Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills after that frustrating loss of theirs to the Miami Dolphins. And you have Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore jumped out to a 20-3 lead in this game because the Bills fumbled the ball and threw an interception early. But late in the game, it's a tie ball game. It's fourth and goal from the two with four to play. The Ravens go for it. They get intercepted. Here is John Harbaugh attempting to rationalize that decision.
You kick a field goal there, now it's not a three-down game anymore. It's a four-down game. You're putting them out there. You're putting your defense at a disadvantage because they've got four downs to convert all the way down the field and a chance to, again, score seven, and then you lose the game on a touchdown. So then the worst thing, the other thing, you think you're going to get the ball at the two-yard line. So I'm very confident in our defense. Defense's ability to stop them down there with the ball on the two-yard line. So we got them backed up. If we don't get it, didn't turn out that way, unfortunately, and we lost the game. So hindsight, you could take the points. But if you look at it analytically, I understand why we did it.
Calm down. You don't even need to look at it analytically. You don't even need that long of an explanation. If you're mad about them going for it on fourth and two in a tie football game, think about this. Josh Allen's the other quarterback. That's it. That's all you got to say.
Honestly, and he was smart not to like put it on Lamar. But if, like, they don't throw a pick, it probably works out.
Buffalo would have been at the two-yard line as opposed to being at the 20-yard line because there was a touchback on the interception. Right. It was the right call. You're playing against an elite quarterback. You kick a field goal right there. Yeah, sure. They could drive down the field and miss the field goal or something like that. No, I think that John Harbaugh made the right call there. I don't need the long explanation, though. You don't need to make it either, man. You got a damn good red zone threat in Lamar Jackson who can theoretically run or throw the football in any spot if you are in a goal to go. Like, that's the move, especially against Allen, as I've said a couple of times. All right, as we continue to take a look across the National Football League at things that are, you know, better than right here in Houston, this was a nice victory for the Kansas City Chiefs. They punched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the face 41-31. Patrick Mahomes got called out by some anonymous letter that was written. Actually, I guess it wasn't anonymous. It was signed by some guy named like Gertrude or Horatio or something. But someone wrote a letter to the Kansas City Star that the Star decided to publish that essentially claimed that Patrick Mahomes wasn't a team player. And Mahomes' wife weighed in on it and said, Kansas City doesn't do this to its own people. Mahomes didn't care, though. Mahomes was great. And this highlight touchdown pass that he had in Sunday Night Football against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers was beautiful.
From the two, Mahomes escaping. On the move, Mahomes stops, spins, flips it forward for the touchdown to Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes straddled the line of scrimmage, flipped it to Edwards-Helaire for the score.
It was a beautiful play. And Kansas City, when they are rolling and getting contributions from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, are still very much the Kansas City Chiefs team of old. It's interesting how we focus on that team when they have their struggles and I think overreact more than we should. And we did this last year too. Look, maybe Mahomes isn't as good as he was with Tyreek Hill now that Hill's gone to Miami. He's still awesome. I mean, extending plays, doing improvisational stuff like you saw with that touchdown pass that Mike Tirico was on the call for. He can do all of those things. And whenever they have a game where they're not playing particularly well, the knives come out. You don't see it with other quarterbacks, Sean.
Yeah, we asked last year, or not we, the like NFL media, big NFL, big M media, asked, did the league figure out Patrick Mahomes?
So dumb.
And he just put up 40 on the league's best defense.
Yes. Thanks for bringing that up, too. That Buccaneers defense is damn good. And they were beating their ass.
They could run against them. They could throw against them. They're doing whatever they want.
It was, I mean, they got off to a really quick start. And Tampa Bay's, Tom Brady has not looked very good this season. You know, that's something that could change by the end of the year.
Has the league figured out Tom Brady? Is what we should be asking.
See, that's the real overreaction.
Too much
to
tape.
Take place. It's funny, though. You don't really get it for teams that are almost consistently thought of as one of the top teams in the league. The Patriots, when Brady was there, play a bad game against Kansas City, for example. Oh, they're finally done. It's like there's 16 games in the regular season. And we do it with Kansas City, too. We hold them to a higher standard than we hold other teams across the league. I always find it funny. Like, they're going to be fine.
I think the Bills got more praise for almost beating the Chiefs than the Chiefs got for actually beating the Bills.
100%, Sean. They were Super Bowl favorites going into this season, perhaps rightfully so, entirely based off of a moral victory where the rules were out to get Buffalo. Even though their secondary was just doo-doo at the end of that.
Yeah, that game, like, it gets completely excused that, like, yeah. No, it was absolutely impossible to make a stop. No one, so it was the coin flip. It's like, no. The defense still could have made a play. Like,
yes!
That is possible.
That's how the game works.
Maybe not give up a field goal in 13 seconds. I don't know.
That helps a little bit, too. Also around the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys are 3-1. They are 3-0 this season when Cooper Rush starts. After beating the Washington Commanders and their ugly ass uniforms 25-10. You see that? Like the all blacks look? Ugh. Weird like lines all over the jerseys.
It was like
stuff.
A bad college football uniform.
I don't even know if college football would stoop that low, Sean Mapes. That was like a, hey, we're only going to use 3 or 4 shots from a scene in Any Given Sunday. Which also had terrible uniforms.
That it is an Any Given Sunday. Like, not an official NFL, but it's like in the football movie.
Same ballpark. Those looked bad. If you don't have black as one of your team colors, just stop trying to go all black. It's not 2009 anymore. Anyway, Cooper Rush, the first quarterback in Cowboys history to start 4-0. Cooper Rush, the first quarterback in NFL history to win each of his first 4 career starts with a passer rating of 90 or higher. Really finding some specific
really
statistics.
Really picking some cherries there.
Yeah. Here's Jerry Jones on Cooper Rush after the game.
Rush gives us a chance. We certainly know that Dak, as we look to the future, that Dak is... An ingredient to our success that's really a must. So we all understand that. But we also know that, that just as Rush has had to step in here during these 3 games and maybe more right now, nothing says that can't happen again. And that's what you have with backup quarterback.
Huh. Well, he walked it back a little bit from the I like quarterback controversies, and that might be because Dak Prescott could be back for this coming Sunday's game against the Los Angeles Rams. One quick one before we move on, because got to get the Saints in there. Andy Dalton did not look terrible yesterday morning in foggy London town. What a bizarre ending of that game, where the Saints drive down the field, I think with a minute 58 or so left. They hit a 61-yard field goal, I want to say. And Kirk Cousins and the Vikings march right back down. They take the lead. The Saints again have a chance to send the game to overtime with yet another 60-plus yard field goal attempt. And Lutz, who had hit the 60-yard field goal to tie it with 1:51 to play, hit the post and crossbar from 61 at the gun. Like, the kick, he got the distance. It's a 61-yard kick. That sucks if you're a Saints fan. That is a terrible way to lose, especially considering, yeah, Jameis Winston's back might not exist anymore, and Andy Dalton, you're expecting nothing out of the Red Ryder BB gun, as J.J. Watt calls him. And the young end, but the Saints are now 1-3. Dennis Allen era. Not the same, but no one's that surprised by that. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. If you have any thoughts on the Houston Texans, you're more than welcome to bring them to the table. I just want them to stop saying we're close. You're not. You made tons of mistakes over the course of that game. You can't lie to me. You can't lie to us. We have been here. We have seen that. We know what good is. This team's not close to it. Just because you have a nice little stretch over the course of the game where you almost are there, don't tell me that it's that close. That's all I'm asking. It's not that much. We'll talk about another person that's in the crosshairs at 11:30 for the Houston Texans. But does anyone like Antonio Brown? Anyone? Does he have a single redeeming quality? Here's my question. How do you just get rid of him? I'm not endorsing, you know, that. No, I'm not saying that. Just, when someone is as terrible of a person as Antonio Brown, how do you just get him gone? Not that. Again, how do you get rid of him? How do you stop him from being, I don't know, a menace to society? We'll talk about that next. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS. If you own your home, you got to listen up. Grab that phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are about to deliver big savings all without ever talking to an agent. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates. It's a pain, but it's not a hassle anymore. Thanks to TGS Insurance, they've built a new system that instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. And you'll probably save a bunch of money too. So take that phone out right now and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back, you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote. Save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You want to weigh in on the Texans? You can. 713-780-3776 is how you call or text. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. You can tweet us too, twitch.tv/ESPN975. If you have a thought, feel free to add it. I don't really know what more can be said about an 0-3-1 football team that likes to tell you it's really close, but we're going to focus on yet another big issue for this team in our next segment. Right now, though, Antonio Brown, I am surprised that this person is still allowed outside slash hasn't been institutionalized. Is that not allowed anymore? Committing somebody? Now, I was watching that really over-the-top art house Marilyn Monroe movie on Netflix the other day. I only was able to make it through like the first 20 minutes or so. And her mom gets institutionalized fairly early. I know that that was a big problem in like the 50s and the 60s. But what if someone's an actual menace to society? And I don't think that's a stretch when it comes to Antonio Brown. What he did this weekend, he's at a hotel pool, and I guess he just stripped ass naked in the pool, surfaced his Antonio Brown Jr. in a censored picture, and was taking himself to Happy Town with, instead of a dorsal fin popping out of the water, it was something else. Yeah, it was something. Then a little bit later, a girl came near him, and he's essentially trying to jump out of the water like a dolphin, but mooning her while he does it. And then a little bit later, he like starts picking her up and ragdolling her around. And there's people that are recording this and sort of cheering it on. So, I mean, it's consistent with everything the guy's done from the time that he lost his mind over, I guess, a bag of cash that he had in his either hotel room or condo being misplaced to the point where he picked up an ottoman and threw it off a balcony and he almost hit a toddler, you know, dropping it from pretty high up, to all sorts of other stories like alleged sexual assault with a settlement that was reached afterwards. There is such a long track record with Antonio Brown that you would think that someone would just step in. He tried to defend, by the way, him getting, I don't really know what else to say other than a little sexual assaulty, a little rapey with that person at the pool. He said this: "I'm telling every team that needs some offense to pick up AB because he's shown that he still has the ability to expose a D." He tags himself and he tags the NFL. Then, when I guess called out by it, he tweeted out this cartoon that's supposed to be Jesus. Most people rejected his message. There's a bunch of people that I guess are annoyed by Jesus that are looking at him, and it says, "Shut up." They hated AB because he told them the truth. Continues saying, "Every chance they get to sway the heat off themselves, they use me. In the video, you can clearly see she runs off with my swim trunks. If roles were reversed, the headlines would read, AB having a wild night with nude female. Yet when it's me, it automatically becomes a hate crime. It's crazy to me that even after I retire, there is disinformation coming out about me. Ironically, during a time when the NFL is getting heat for allowing players to play when they're clearly concussed. They've been using black men as guinea pigs." I mean, he's just going all in with the, oh, wait, concussions. Concussions, everybody. Why is nobody talking about this? He said as he was stroking himself in a pool in front of other people, including apparently his friends who are recording this for reasons that I can't really explain. Why would you record this if you're clearly boys with him too? Ah, that's funny. That's our Antonio Brown pulling out his dong and playing with it at a pool. He continued, "My name more precious to be diamonds and gold. Y'all keep playing with my character."
Well said.
I agree.
That's well said.
Thanks, Sean. "They tried to bury me." You spelled it bury.
Like
a name.
Strawberry?
No, like a name.
Oh, like Barry on HBO.
Like Barry on HBO, yeah. Maybe, you know what?
Integrated marketing?
He might have been speaking in a metaphorical sense. You know, like every now and then I say MacGyvered, like it's a verb, which means that you're making, you know.
They're trying to hitman him.
Chicken salad out of chicken bleep. Yeah, they're trying to hitman him. They tried to bury him. "Forgot I was a seed." I don't know what that means.
I think he's talking about actual berries.
Maybe. At this point, I don't know. And by the way, a little bit later, like he puts up a picture of Gisele Bündchen hugging him with the caption, "Put that bleep on," and just arrows pointing everywhere. I mean, how do you get rid of him? Serious question. Someone once got mad at me. I was out golfing one day, and we were talking about Antonio Brown, and I said this. I said, I mean, wouldn't the world be a better place if he was just, I don't know, gone? Maybe he was a little bit more pointed than that. I don't know. If he was dead. Like, he's awful. He is truly a horrible person. There are no redeeming qualities for him. Do you not pay attention to him when he does these things? Because, I mean, you probably should. He's not an NFL player anymore. I doubt he has any money. I saw a story about how he was supposed to have some public appearance where he was going to do his rap music. Like the hit single, I got a whole lot of money, whole lot of money, whole lot of money, whole lot of money. I got a whole lot of money, whole lot of money, whole lot of money. I got a whole lot of money. These are the actual lyrics. There's nothing else. It just goes on and on. And he's flashing money the whole time. Is it real money? I don't know. I don't think he has that money anymore. What do you do? How do you get rid of him? Anyone got an idea? And I mean, again, I'm not endorsing murder. Murder is mean.
You're not trying to bury him.
I'm not trying to bury him. You're right, Sean.
Let's get that off the ground.
Okay. Like we don't want to go that far, but like you do have to acknowledge this stuff, right? I mean, there's a homeless crisis everywhere. Say on like the West Coast, there's a lot of homeless people doing some messed up stuff. But we have an Antonio Brown crisis too. I mean, he's just like essentially just showing up places and going all Rick James on Charlie Murphy's couch. Like wherever he goes, he's just the worst. And yeah, back in the 50s and 60s, I know, like, you know, if you watch the American Horror Story about the asylum, like, yeah, you're probably like, you know what? I don't know if it's like that at every single one of these places, but maybe we shouldn't have places like that, except for someone like Antonio Brown, right? Is there a Shutter Island kind of situation? Like, I don't know what you do here.
Wasn't this latest incident at a Dubai pool or a hotel?
Was it in
Dubai? I thought that's what it was.
You know what? Now it all makes sense. Never mind. Never mind. Everything I said, I forgot. We're not talking about like a real country. We're talking about a place where, yeah, it's a little different.
He really could just like live in Dubai and just do all this stuff.
Yeah,
as long as he has money.
But I don't think he has money.
He has money as long as he's like in with dudes that have money.
Yeah.
In Dubai. Because I bet they love him.
I don't want to throw shots at anyone locally. What is the equivalent, like, of a Walmart version of Dubai? You know, what's like the very toned down knockoff version?
This
toasted oats version of Cheerios. Like that, I don't think he can afford Dubai. You know?
No, but what I'm saying is that he basically is like a like party guest / like buddy for one of these like super super rich kids that live there.
Who wants him at the party?
I don't know. These weirdos.
I mean, clearly they're recording him taking himself to Happy Town in a pool, like he's a half dolphin, half man.
Yes, is the Armani Hotel in Dubai?
Oh, of course, Armani. Yeah,
that kind of stuff doesn't happen at the Express Hotel.
That's true. I see Express, classy. Armani, you're trying too hard. No one respects you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. There is somebody else not named Davis Mills that also needs to be called into court for their, I guess, role in where the Texans are at right now. Because this guy was supposed to be good. What's going on? Talk about some of his issues next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Texans fell to the Chargers 34-24 yesterday in a game that was marked by an awful start, an almost comeback, and a lot of the same stuff that we've come to expect from this team, which is just dumb mistakes left and right and right and left. Now, you could point to Davis Mills for a lot of these issues. There's one person that actually felt Davis Mills made steps forward on Sunday. His name is Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd said, yeah, I think Davis Mills is going a long way towards proving that he might be the long-term guy. And I just tweeted at him saying, calm down, dude. What are you talking about? We are watching all of this. You think that he's going, I mean, he threw an interception on the third play of the game after calling a timeout with 9 seconds left on the play clock for whatever reason. That could be on Pat Hamilton too. And this is also a guy who is sailing wide open receivers on third downs. There's no doubt that every now and then Mills can show you that he belongs in the NFL. That doesn't mean he's a starting quarterback. Just because you can throw a bomb 50 yards to Nico Collins and throw a touchdown on the next play, that doesn't make you a starting quarterback or a franchise quarterback in the NFL. It doesn't. But the other issue right now is Pep Hamilton, the offensive coordinator, who I thought was going to be a very nice change from Tim Kelly as this team's offensive coordinator. Here are some valid gripes that you can put against Pep Hamilton, much like, of course, there's a lot of evidence that you can use against Davis Mills. The one that everyone's talking about is the 4th-and-1 rollout where Rex Burkhead was on the field instead of Damian Pierce. Lovie Smith was asked about that after the game by Brooks Kabina. Here is his response as to why Rex was in for Damian on that play.
The 4th-and-1 situation with him on the sideline, why was he there?
Because we had a pass call on there. All right. And we the guy that we had out there, we thought that gave us our best option. There was a pass, and that's probably the reason why, you know. Damon has done some good things. We're not going to have him out there each play. That's what we had called. Good play on their part, not so good for us.
Let's go a little further here. Because Lovie Smith, he is taking some responsibility for that. But he's also saying things that don't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Wait, so whenever Rex Burkhead's in the game, they're going to throw the ball? I mean, Damian Pierce did have 6 catches yesterday. Do you want to have an obvious tell like that?
And also be on the podium saying it? And also, if the play call is a play action, don't you want the defense to think you're running it with the running back that runs?
All great questions, Sean. And I think that you circle back to Pep Hamilton with this. Lovie was pushed a little bit further on that 4th-and-1. Let's run a play action rollout with Davis Mills and Rex Burkhead as the running back. And this was Lovie's answer as to who puts the guys on the field on offense.
That's our offensive staff, and everything goes through me. That our offensive staff. You know, 4th-and-1 is a big play. We thought that that gave us our best chance to be successful in that play. Like every offensive play that we have, that's how the communication goes.
I don't know that it's quite that. I don't know that with a 40-second play clock, the way things go is that Lovie Smith says, yeah, we're going for it. Then Pep Hamilton says, who should we put on the field? And then Lovie says, I think we should go with Rex over Damian Pierce. That might be something that happens in the week of practice leading up to it. But whatever the case, you got to have your best player out there. And here is the tricky thing. As Lovie Smith said, you don't want to have Damian Pierce out there every single play. But when you legitimately have 2 running backs that you are willing to use, this is a situation that is going to rear its ugly head. Now, to Damian Pierce's credit, that guy seems like a great teammate. He defended the bleep out of Rex Burkhead when he was asked just about Burkhead's role on this team.
Like I always say when people ask me about, you know, Rex being on the field when I'm not on the field, like, not saying that I can't do it, but it's like having a guy who's been in those situations who's like a step ahead. Like, learning from him is probably, like, the best thing for me as a rookie. Like, my first in the league, trying to soak up that, you know, just be a sponge around Rex because, you know, he ain't going to be here forever.
that doesn't make you feel great at the end. He's not going to be here forever. I'll give Pierce a lot of credit. Pierce is extremely stand-up. I like his energy. I like his vibe. Seems like a good dude. Someone who credits his offensive line after the 75-yard touchdown run that he had and seems to go out of his way to defend Burkhead's role on this team. They have two running backs. You need to have more. That might be a Nick Caserio problem given the lack of cap space they have. I was talking with Texans cap, Troy Chapman, during the game. He was like, yeah, they only have like $1 million worth of cap space to work with right now. So you can't really sign another running back or another quarterback at this moment in time, which is a little frustrating. It means you're probably going to see a lot of Davis Mills and a lot of Rex Burkhead the rest of the way.
I feel like if you're both the worst team in the league and have no cap room, like, you should get deducted a draft pick or something. Like, that is so – that's crazy. I trust Texans cap with all things Texans cap.
I do too.
But that is I do not know where this money is going.
Some of that is on Bill O'Brien. Some of this is definitely on Nick Caserio too. I don't think Caserio deserves a lion's share of the blame for what happened yesterday. But that was the biggest thing to get worked up about with Pep Hamilton. But let's take a look at some other things where, yeah, have to point at Pep Hamilton. Third play of the game, you're down to 9 seconds on the play clock, and you call a timeout. You get another delay of game on 2nd and 20, when you're down 27-7. So, I mean, 2nd and 20 is a bad situation already because of Kenyon Green, who got called for a holding. And Kenyon Green had a rough day, a couple holds. He allowed the sack that forced a fumble. It wasn't a good day for him. But delay of game on top of a holding penalty? Damian Pierce, 6 passes received for 8 yards. Pierce is a guy that I feel like should be having plays drawn up for him. Are all these screens just getting blown up? Like, what? What is a way to get him the ball in space? You saw him that touchdown toss that he had. He was untouched. Get him the ball in space. He's clearly fast enough. I mean, he's special on that straight line speed front. I don't think we've seen a running back with that kind of speed. Maybe Lamar Miller was there, but Lamar Miller was not on the same level talent-wise as Damian Pierce. It's really just been Arian Foster that we've seen as this good of a running back before. Like, Pierce is an unbelievable player. I'll go on and on about him, especially considering some of the limitations that this offense has. But just 14 carries, yeah, a game that got out of hand really quickly, and 6 catches for 8 yards. Pep, you got to be able to draw stuff up that's better for him. And I'm not talking about calling a timeout after a couple of kneel downs by the Chargers so that you can hand the ball off to him straight up the field with 16 seconds left in a 10-point game. You finally got Brandon Cooks involved, but why did it take so long? Probably partly on Davis Mills, but and they said this week, we're going to try to get Brandon Cooks more involved. Well, why did it take them this long to get him involved? I mean, you saw him in this game. Did Brandon Cooks not look like a plus wide receiver, like one of the best, I don't know, 50, 40 wide receivers in the game? Maybe not a true number one, but he looked like a true number one last year. There's a lot of things going on with this team, and I know a lot of people want to put it all on Davis Mills. I'd put a lot of it on Davis Mills, but Pep Hamilton should be in everybody's crosshairs right now. And that's what's funny. Online right now, it seems to be this back and forth debate between it all being on Pep Hamilton or it all being on Davis Mills. It's a little bit of both. And I do wonder about both of their places on this team next year. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We got to talk about a man who used a cart to Paul Pierce in the middle of a game. We'll talk about that next, but first I want to tell you about my friends at the Circa Resort and Casino. We are going to Vegas October 23rd for the football game between Houston and Vegas, and we'll be staying there. We'll be there all weekend, so come out and have some fun while we're there. It's me. It's the Wheelhouse. We're going to be watching sports at the largest sports book in Vegas, hanging out poolside, betting on sports, and, of course, making some money. You want to be tuning into both my show, 10 to noon, and the Wheelhouse, because we're going to be giving away a lucky winner to Vegas to hang out with us. 2 tickets to the game, airfare, and stay at Circa on us. If you don't win, that's okay. You can still join us. And when you book your hotel at Circa, use promo code CIRCA975 for a 15% discount. That's CIRCA975. Come out and hang with us. It's going to be a blast.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Honestly, one of those days where, yeah, you might need help. Oh, in case you tuned in just now, didn't make it here on time because my car died at an intersection within eyesight of the station. It just died. I just got the transmission replaced on it like 9 months ago. If you're a car expert, you can probably guess the car that I have, given that it's had multiple transmission issues. I don't want to besmirch a brand, nor do I want to besmirch, you know, a place that I bought that I do trust. Car, I don't think, can handle long road trips. I'm just basing that off of having these issues after driving here from Seattle and driving back and forth from Waco this past weekend. Waco was an interesting place to go to. That stadium is nice. They need to have beverages at the stadium. Maybe you need to have beverages at ESPN 97.5 so I can calm myself down. I really cannot express to you how, despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage. Like that's how I felt in the intersection of Westheimer and on Chimney Rock. I'm just there. The worst feeling in the world is like I can't move my car, and then there's people honking at you, and my hazards are on, and I have this stupid beacon on the top of my car, and I'm just like, I can't do anything about it. Everyone's like, hey, bleep you. And I know that if I were in their shoes, I would do the exact same thing, but there I was. So yeah. All things considered, I mean, I haven't had a Texans meltdown today, you know? I could have. But anyway, guys, if you want to go to Vegas with us and the Wheelhouse, here's your chance to do it. Caller number... Okay, you get this question right. Guess what? You're going to qualify for a chance to go to Vegas with the Wheelhouse and me. How many hotel rooms does Circa Resort and Casino have? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You call in with the correct answer to that, and you're going to qualify for a chance to come to Vegas with us. Can't wait. Circa Resort and Casino. Guys, it's fantastic if you haven't seen it already. All right. I think that DK Metcalf has things figured out a little bit more than me. I would love to have this kind of service, you know, even better than AAA, if I'm in the midst of a football game. Every now and then, whether it's due to a couple of cups of coffee, maybe a little extra fiber, every now and then, you might have an unexpected need to drop the kids off, if you will, right? Now, maybe you don't expect it to happen in the midst of a football game. And during yesterday's shootout between the Seahawks and Lions, which Seattle won 48-25, DK Metcalf, who is one of my favorite people in the NFL, I enjoyed him and speaking with him on a regular basis when I was up in Seattle working for the Seahawks flagship station. DK, I guess, had to go. So there's a moment during the game where DK had been looking really good, where all of a sudden he's on a cart going into the locker room. And you're like, wait a second, what happened? Did he suffer a non-contact injury? Nope. He took a cart all the way from the sidelines into the bowels. Get that? Of the locker room so that he could drop his, you know, things off. When he saw the video of him on the cart, he retweeted it saying that clinch walk wouldn't have made it. Shout out to DK Metcalf, who pulled a Paul Pierce. He had to go twosies. And it's not like you can really go twosies on the middle of a football field. It would be pretty embarrassing, right? Like, oh, you just got to relieve yourself in the middle of a game. I suppose that no one would want to cover you if you went about it that way. But yeah, do you want to essentially revert back to being an infant in the middle of a football game? No, I don't think so. You got to have somebody take you where you need to go. I just think it's really funny that it happened like that. By the way, this might be a case of too much information, but back in high school, we played a football team down in the Fort Myers area, and shout out to all the people down in Fort Myers, which got absolutely crushed by Hurricane Ian. We played a team that didn't have a bathroom. So we got there, we get to the field, and you know, we had just driven 3.5 hours from St. Petersburg, Florida, got out of school early. That was nice. But we're thinking to ourselves, oh, shoot, we don't have anywhere to go to the bathroom. And we went on one of those buses that doesn't have a bathroom on it, you know, because it wasn't a long enough drive to merit that. So it's the middle of the game and we're in a park that's got like playgrounds in it and stuff. And all of us at a certain point are like, oh, shoot, we got to go. But there's like kids here. And, you know, we're 17, 18 years old, some of us. So it's not like, I guess, we're creepy adults or anything like that. But, you know, in Florida, you drink a ton of water. You drink a ton of Gatorade during a game. So I had to go so bad. And I'm like, where am I going to go? I can't go. So one of my teammates, his name is Brogan. He looks at me and he's like, hey, Paul, you know where I'm going to the bathroom? And I said, no. And then he just points down at his shoes. And I noticed that there's just liquid seeping all onto his shoes. And I'm like, oh, well, that's his plan.
Football guy.
So if peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis, because I went too. And here's the tricky thing. I've always had, and this happens too, like if you've ever been in the ocean and you got to go, or because you can't do it in the pool. You're an absolute savage if you go in the pool. I psychologically cannot go, except for in that situation, unless like I pull the pants down or I like unzip, if you will. Like if that's in the pants, I can't go.
I understand. I do not have that hang up, but I understand what you're saying, where it feels like you're just peeing on yourself if you have it in your pants.
And it's shown a lot of effort to actually go and to do it like that. And I've said, like, the last couple of times that I've gone in the ocean, I have felt like I'm trying to power up to being a Super Saiyan or something like that, just trying to go while the pants are on. There once was a time where, and again, if you're in the ocean, you know, no one can see. There have been times where I would, like, just so that I could go, would, like, lower my shorts underwater so I could go that way. But I couldn't physically do it with my pants on. But in that game, I was able to do it. Luckily, no one had to go number two. That would not have been ideal. DK Metcalf, shout out to him being smart enough, though, to get somebody to drive over and drive him into the locker room. Because if you poop yourself on national TV, you would never live that down. Even if you are actually cool like DK Metcalf and have had headlines about you for like trying to have arrange a foursome during the offseason. Like that's, you know, you got shot down maybe, but at the same time, like, okay, yeah, this guy, he likes to have a good time. But all of a sudden you poop yourself and you become the person who pooped himself. There was a person in my high school, and there were allegations that she may or may not have twosied herself, and they never left. And no one was even 100% sure whether or not she went. And I felt bad, because everyone in high school is a horrible person, but you can't do it. And if you do it on national TV, that's it. Like, DK might have had to retire there and become a Sherpa in Nepal or something like that, to just get away, get off the grid, to never be remembered again. But creative, smart, ingenuitive. 713-780-3776 if you have any final thoughts before we hit the road. It is that time. It is time for Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Okay, this is a non-traditional sport that we're about to discuss, but Sean Mapes made me aware of a story that went viral over the weekend. A pro fishing tournament has seen multiple time winners get caught stuffing fish with lead weights and other fish fillets so that they can have the heaviest catch. They've won hundreds of thousands of dollars in prizes. Chase Kaminsky and Jake Runyon in the Lake Erie Walleye Tournament. And they've been doing this for a while. I didn't know there was that much money in a fishing competition.
That's the craziest part to me. It's that they won hundreds of thousands of dollars maybe doing this.
They failed polygraph tests as well. People have been suspecting them of this for a very long time. But their attorney saved them, I guess. And they
Jimmy
kept
McGill
doing
was
it.
There.
Jimmy McGill was there, slipping Jimmy, and... Sean, they still kept doing it after they got exposed.
Oh, so this most, because there's a viral video that came out this weekend with the live reaction of them getting busted, like, at the tournament, it looked like.
Yeah.
But there's previous times where they got off.
They've done this before, and they just didn't give up. Look, if this is 1995 and the internet is not that much of a thing, I think you could get away with this still. Maybe 2000. Maybe 2003. Whenever Google really became Google, I feel like before that moment in time, you could have done this. You're doing this in 2022.
Yeah.
Nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing is secret anymore. Everything is out there. Everyone can stalk everything about you if you have even their most remote digital footprint. And everyone has to have a digital footprint these days. And these idiots decided to do it again. Bro, you got off. You think no one's going to suspect you again just because your lawyer got you off? What are you, OJ? I got to say, like, maybe I'm not expecting that much from people that are competing in the Lake Erie Biggest Walleye Competition. But if you get caught once, I don't know, it might be time to hang up the rod and do it somewhere else if you're going to cheat. That is Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to our callers, our texters on today's Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Hopefully we will start tomorrow by 10. Hopefully we don't have any car issues in the future. Killer Bees are up next. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Monday.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.